Hello, this is Daryl Castle with today's podcast. Today is Wednesday, December 4, 2013, and today I'm talking about the end of the post-9/11 world, the end of the global war on terrorism as Washington sees it, Washington trying to focus on fighting terrorism in the region of the world that seems to harbor most of the world's terrorists, that is the Middle East. Now Washington trying to re-engage with Asia, to pivot to Asia, as they call it. Washington's overall strategy for achieving this end is to focus on diplomacy rather than military confrontation. Focus on diplomacy, Mr. Obama says, rather than military confrontation. The compromise with Vladimir Putin prevented conflict in Syria. The administration's nuclear deal with Iran will allow an exit of the military from its more than two-decade involvement in the Middle East, the administration hopes. Since becoming Secretary of State, John Kerry has concentrated his efforts in the Middle East. He has called on the Saudis three times in his short term in office. On the Asia side, the administration has been working Congress to get its approval for fast-track authority on the Trans-Pacific Partnership, or TPP for short. This agreement would allow the U.S. and 10 other Pacific countries to trade at close to zero tariffs, as well as deal freely in services, investment, public works, etc. This agreement is more extensive than the other free trade pacts, and even Democrats seem reluctant to approve fast-track authority. In the meantime, the President dispatched Vice President Joe Biden to China, Japan, and South Korea in an effort to defuse a crisis that could be the first military destabilizing event of the new Asian era. For several years, the Chinese, Japanese, and South Koreans have squabbled over a group of relatively unimportant islands in the South China Sea. Now we know those islands have some oil beneath them. China calls them Dai-Oyu. Japan calls them Senkaku. Both nations claim them, but Japan has controlled them for about 120 years. It's China's position that World War II put an end to those Japanese claims, and all bets were off as far as Japan's control of countries it conquered through its empire. A couple of weeks ago, the Chinese government expanded its ADIZ, that is the Air Defense Identification Zone, off the coast of China all the way beyond the disputed islands. This requires aircraft operating within the ADIZ to follow Chinese air rules or risk, quote, defensive emergency measures. This is a very serious matter for the U.S. Washington is bound by treaty to come to the aid of Japan in the event it is attacked. This is more than diplomatic symbolism. It is putting the Chinese military where its diplomatic mouth is. In response, the U.S. dispatched two unarmed B-52 bombers from Guam to fly through the Chinese-announced ADIZ. Japan, Korean, and Chinese military aircraft have challenged each other continually in the disputed airspace. But just before Vice President Joe Biden arrived in China, the Chinese issued a threat, threatening military action against Japan and say it would enforce new aircraft controls. The Chinese Defense Ministry accused Japan in a statement of, quote, making trouble. He warned Chinese military aircraft would enforce the newly imposed Air Defense Identification Zone, or ADIZ. This is a scary scenario because, as I said, the U.S. is bound by treaty, but the U.S. seems to have flinched. They look and see who blinks first. The U.S. seemed to blink because it has told its civilian airliners to check in with China, file a flight plan with China, and check in with Chinese controllers when it enters the disputed territory. How would you like to be sitting on one of those airliners, folks, 35,000 feet above the South China Sea when it entered this disputed airspace? Nevertheless, that's the way it is. The U.S. wants desperately to preserve the status quo in the area between China, Japan, and South Korea, but China wants a new status quo, escalating what has so far been a war of words to the next level, Washington has said that it considers this area covered by the U.S.-Japan security agreement, so it admits a treaty obligation to enter this conflict on the part of Japan. China seems willing to test U.S. resolve, as so many have done in the past. Perhaps they look and they see a weak and indecisive leader. We will see. Will Vice President Biden be successful in defusing this new Asian bomb? Time will tell. I wish him well, folks. That's the way I see it. Wednesday, December 4, 2013. Until next time, this is Darrell Castle. Thanks for listening.